Well, I did it tonight. Some of my father's favorite songs. His favorite was The Haven of Rest. And we gathered in the living room as a family often and sang The Haven of Rest. And you'll just have to bear with me. I'm glad to be in the pulpit tonight, and I appreciate the invitation to come and to see friends and brothers and sisters with us this evening. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15. Very familiar scripture, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, add your blessing to the word of God. Help us, Lord, to preach that which is pleasing to thee. And we pray for the counsel of every heart to be submitted to heaven. And have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A number of years ago, now I started to say a couple of years ago. This had been a number of years ago. And in preaching, a lot of things have become a number of years ago. But we're in Chattanooga with our daughter Angela and Craig, her husband. And they took us down to the sea captain's houses up on the bluff overlooking the river. It overlooks the aquarium. Some of you know where that is. And that evening after supper, we went across a little road down into an open hillside art gallery. And we were able to walk through that. Some of you all probably know where that is. And we came to a crook in the road, and I looked, and here was a full life-size statue of a young man, barefoot, naked, falling into the arms of an old man who took his robe and wrapped around him so the servants didn't see the son undressed. I looked at the foot, $27,000. And if I'd been a wealthy man that day, I'd have bought that. It had a profound effect on me. And this scripture. A few weeks later, for my birthday, Angela sent me a picture in a frame. And it was of the statue. I'd hoped she would send me the statue, but she couldn't afford the statue then. But she sent me a picture, and the title over it was The Prodigal Son. Now, we all know the story. And some of us tonight here may have been a prodigal son. There may be a prodigal son here tonight. I don't know. But there's a great story about man's relationship with God in the words that we've read tonight. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Before we do anything, we need to broach this subject. I've heard preachers preach on this, that this man used to be saved and he got lost. Well, you can't read that portion of Scripture and make this boy lost again. I want you to consider this. What did he lose? Did he lose his relationship? No, he was still a son. And it's entirely possible for you to lose your privilege, but you can't lose your relationship. Up on Mount Nebo, after 40 years, the Lord took Moses up on Mount Nebo, up to Mount Pisgah, the highest peak, and said, "Look, everything you can see, I've given it to the house of Jacob. But you're not going to go in. You know why? Water from the rock. The first time he said, smite the rock. The second time he said, speak to the rock. Moses was wroth and he raised back and smote the rock again. That rock that followed them was who? Christ. He died one time. He won't die again. Amen. And if you think Moses lost his salvation, I'll take you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. And you see on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord was transfigured before their very eyes, and there appeared with him Moses and Elijah speaking with him. And I want you to know this. If you can talk to the Lord in a glorified body, you're not lost. You're not lost. So he didn't lose his relationship. He forfeited privilege. And did he lose his inheritance, somebody said. Well, no, he didn't lose it. He took it with him. He took that portion of it with him. And when you think about this, what he asked for was not wrong. He was a son, and by right would inherit the inheritance along with his brother, that of his father, according to his father's wish. He just asked it at the wrong time. Here's what the Bible says about that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. It is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Do you know the children of God have an inheritance reserved in heaven? Amen. Undefiled and fadeth not away. Amen. And you said, that's by and by up in the sky. No, it isn't. You know why? Because the testator of the new covenant died on the cross of Calvary. And the will was probated on the cross. So he did for us. He died, not going to die again, not going to have to die again. That last will we call the New Testament, the promise of an inheritance in heaven. I don't have a lot here. Don't need a lot. The Lord's given me everything that I've needed. And when I had to have help, he's always given it to me. But you don't have to have a lot here. But if you come to heaven, you come and see me. You'll walk down a street of transparent gold. You'll come to my house with walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Yeah, no, I don't need a whole lot here. But I want to tell you, I have an inheritance in glory. And I don't have a lot of sympathy with preachers getting a pulpit and say, a tar paper shack would be good for me in heaven. God's not going to have any tar paper shacks in heaven. And if you think that's the kind of God it is, I wouldn't serve a God like that. Amen? So the testator has to die. In order for that will to go in force, he must necessarily have waited till his dad died. But he was presumptuous and self-centered and self-serving. And I want you to notice what the scripture says. The father gladly divided unto both sons. Both sons. So one son didn't leave. One son left. The son that stayed behind, he was a prodigal too. Stayed right in the high house. Took everything his dad gave him. And criticized his father all along the way for spending time waiting on a boy that was out. Aren't you glad God loved the 99 and had them secure? But he went out into the fields wild looking for that one. When I got saved, I wasn't looking for God. But I want to tell you, he was looking for me. Amen. And he knew where to come. He came down where I was. I couldn't go to him. But he came to where I was. And this boy thought just about himself only. You know the story. His wayward journey begins. By the way, he left with clothes that his daddy gave him. He got up on a V12 fuel injected diesel camel that his daddy gave him. He took the finest. He said, you don't know that about his father. Father had a house full of servants. I know that. Poor people don't have that. Huh? We don't have a house full of servants. His father had a house full of servants. And so he took a tent. I'm probably running water and air conditioning and an 80-inch TV of its day. And took it all with him. And no more thought about his daddy. But he took everything that his father gave him, all of which he did nothing except be born. There are a lot of people treat God that way. There are a lot of people who don't ever spend any time thanking God for what he's done for them. The only thing they do when they pray is give God the list. This. I told you my dad. This is not uncommon here. Daddy pray 3 hours. The first hour he would sing songs. He loved that song. He keeps me singing. The second hour he'd quote the scripture. He said, you know the Lord honors his word above his own name. In the third hour, he'd tell the Lord how much he loved him. I don't want anything. But if he did, he wasn't afraid to ask. I told him one time, I said, Daddy, where did you get your power and pride? We had people knocking on our door all hours, day and night. Mac, pray for me. He said, I know we're supposed to pray the will of the Lord be done. But when I have to have help, I beg for mercy. And aren't you glad God is in the mercy business? This boy's going to learn that lesson. He's going to learn that lesson far away from his father, far from home, far from the blessings of a good life. And then he hit rock bottom. He's fortunate. Some people run out of time before they hit bottom. Some people allow themselves to die in an awful predicament. You know, the Bible still says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us here tonight have a guarantee of tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So we don't know. We might have the intentions of good things to do tomorrow and business to conduct and everything. And I've said before, is most of our life is spent on three things: food, clothing, and shelter. Well, don't you think the other time we ought to spend a little bit of time thanking God for the food, clothing, and shelter? Being a grateful, thankful child of God to Him. Boy, didn't have time for that now, but He's going to come to that place. He's going to come to that. And when He got down there in the hog pen, and you know the story of pork and the Jewish people, He got in the hog pen, and He's just about to eat that which is not fit for human consumption. He went down there, the Bible said, and He wasted His substance in riotous living. Riotous, this comes from our word riot. This uncontrolled explosion of extravagant. Yeah. And then He had nothing left but His memory. Thank God for a memory. Thank God for a memory. In my Father's house, the servants, the hired servants, fare far better than this. And look what I've done. He looked around. He looked in. He looked up. And the day of reckoning had come. Dr. R.G. Lee, the great church, Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. I drove by it downtown many times. I have his sermon on payday someday. And just in case you think that you've got it hidden from your mother and father, or from your husband and wife, or wife, I want to tell you tonight, God knows it all. He knows every bit of it. And He's keeping a record. And this boy's building a record down there. But he finally comes to a point of self-evaluation that leads him to real repentance. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you no doubt have been exposed to people come down to an altar and weep bitter tears, walk out the back door of the church no different than they were when they came in. That's not repentance. All in the world that was guilt because they got caught. But real repentance means a true change of heart and a willingness to turn from it and turn around and come toward God. That's true repentance. Amen. That's true repentance. That's what this boy shows here. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. We heard that prayer in Psalm 51. David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wicked thing. Now, my sin hurts everybody around me. Your sin hurts everyone around you. I go back to a wayward childhood when I was a disappointment to my father and it broke my mother's heart. But I thought I was having fun. But it began to gnaw at me. I'd go into church, 17, Every word the preacher preached. Remember, Brother Blue used to tell that story about Sam McCurdy? He said, I'd go to church, and he said, old Brother McCurdy would, just like he's preaching me, he said, I'd sit in the middle. He'd go, and he said, I'd sit in the right. He'd diss me. He said, I believe if I'd crawled up under the floor, he'd been doing this. I'd go to church, and the Lord would just, the Spirit of God would just chew my ears and heart off. Till one night, an old Sunday school teacher stood out in the driveway and said, Brother Sam, I may never see you again. Moved to California, I never saw him again. But he said, you'll never be truly happy till you run up a white flag and surrender it all. See, I gave the Lord my heart when I was 13. But I was 22 years old before I gave him my life. I have a book by William Murray, Total Surrender. I'm not there yet. But that book, if you'll read that book, that chapter, it'll give you something to think about. Total surrender. Every bit of it to Him. Nothing held back. Nothing left out. All to Him. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And then he had to do something really, and I mean really dreadful. I wonder how many of us sat in a church service and knew we need to get to an altar and come clean with God. But everybody around us looked so religious, so good and so kind and so clean, until it was just almost overwhelming to think of going up to an altar in the front of the church. Well, I want to remind you of this. God doesn't use hidden volunteers. You have to make the move. God doesn't make the move. He's done everything that's necessary for us to get right and live right. And it's up to us whether we're going to do what is required. When we need to repent, don't tell me you don't ever need to repent. I know better. So how do you know better? Because we're all alike. Amen? We're all alike. And if you want to prove that to yourself, just have a good long prayer before you go to bed tonight. Everything in the world the devil can throw at you, he'll throw at you. To keep you away from anything like that. But this boy knew, I've got to go home. I have to go home. Don't you know that boy rehearsed that? Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned against heaven and in front of you. Just make me like one of your hired servants. And I think he probably rehearsed that to himself on his walk home. He left out of there in a brand new pair of Buster Brown shoes and a Hart Schaffner and Mark suit. But when he came home, he walked barefoot and naked. Hey, you know, the old saying is true. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. But there is a payday someday for this. But he made it back home. And Brother Lawson mentioned this in preaching a while back. He didn't have to go through the gate and start looking for his father. The Bible said while he was yet a long way off, I wonder how many days that old man stood at the upper window and looked for his wayward boy. You listen to me. You got godly mamas and daddies. When you commit sin, you're breaking their heart. I said, living a life of sin before godly parents I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Nonsense. Nonsense. You're grieving your mother and grieving your father. Years after the Lord had called me into the gospel ministry, my mother got me a birthday card. I was born on Mother's Day, May the 13th. I always get her a gift. Mama, I got you a gift, but I don't have to. You got me. She always laughed. But she gave me a birthday card, and she said in that card, when you were born, I gave you to the Lord. And I thought to my time, Lord, have mercy. All the wasted years. All the wasted time. All the time that I could have been doing something for God. And as a result of that, I have lived my life as a repudiation of who I used to be. And that's where this boy had come to. He came home and he told his dad. Years ago, Ira Stamphill wrote a song, Unworthy. And a line in it, Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Love beyond the comprehension of a human heart. And that old man had been watching for his boy. While he was a long way off, Daddy lit out to greet him. The closer he came, the more he realized his son was stripped bare and worn out and had absolutely nothing left but shame and heartache. And he ran to him and he grabbed him and he put his robe around him. He told his servants, bring the best robe. I don't know that he said, go in there and get his brother's robe and bring it. I don't know that. Now the thought occurs to me, when we began this journey with these two boys getting the inheritance, he divided his substance among them. But the boy comes home and his dad says, bring the best robe, bring a ring. I want that signet of sonship go back on that finger. And bring him a pair of shoes. I don't want the servants to have to see my son like this. And get a place. Then I want you to kill a fatted calf. And we're going to rejoice because my son was dead. But now he's alive. We've figured his speech here. He was lost. Now he's found. He was lost out into the wild. The dad didn't know where he was. But I want to tell you this. I'm sure Daddy prayed for that boy while he was out in the far country. Many of us here tonight are here because you had a mom and daddy that loved you and prayed for you. And there may be some people here tonight that you're wandering in the far country tonight. And you got people that love you. They're praying for you. And they want to see you get back to God. Get back right with God. So he did. One had nothing. One had everything. Everything. The cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold and all the silver is mine. Our Lord said. This is a portrait of the loving Lord looking for a wayward child. And I want to tell you that is as true tonight as it was the very day. It had to say this is a parable. The Bible doesn't say that it was a parable. The text in front of it was a parable, but our Lord said a certain man. You know what that means? That meant God was thinking of an individual. Amen? And so that story is told for our benefit. So tonight, I don't know where you are. Some of you have been where this boy was. Some of you may be where he is, where he was now. Most of us are back. But I want to ask you this in closing tonight. On your present course, where are you going to end up with God? Where is that going to take you? How much are you going to pay? And I wonder, what's it going to take to bring you home? Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in church tonight. Thank you for the good word of God. Even when we're away off in a far country, we're not out of your sight, and we're not away from your love, and the door is not closed so that we can't call out to you. God, help us not to be so ensnared with the things of the world that we neglect our relationship with you. So have your way in the invitation hour tonight, and whatever someone needs to do this evening, help them to get along with you and do what they'll be glad they have done when they stand in your presence on that great day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Lawson.